For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, sports fans, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to golf to the NBA and NHL playoffs. Get the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams, and you can get the latest odds, lines, including the latest matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. You know, here on the ML Sports Platter, I like to cover a wide range of topics. Even during your team's offseason, there's always a story to break, right? Including free agent signings, coaching changes, draft picks, and more. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know I'm a proud Bonnie. St. Bonaventure University gives its students a solid foundation and has trained many journalists that you know and love from ESPN and other leading media organizations across the globe. Their online Master of Arts in Sports Journalism builds podcasting, interviewing, and research skills needed in a changing media landscape right now. Students learn how to follow high professional standards as they tell nuanced stories about the sports we love. You don't need writing or broadcasting experience to start the program, just simply a passion for the profession. There's no application fee or graduate exam scores to apply, and you can complete the program in less than 2 years. Yes, less than 2 years. Get in touch with an enrollment advisor today at sbujournalism.com to learn how you can become a sports journalist and a Bonnie. That's sbujournalism.com. SBUjournalism.com. It's the ML Sports Platter, brought to you by our great friends at Stanley Law Offices, Burn Dairy, and these guys, the Allen Angus Pub. Stop by for the best darn Angus burger in town before and after all the big events in Central New York. I'm bringing on a guy who's kind of like Scottie Scheffler, actually, in the Masters. He's good at everything. He can play the guitar. He's a great golfer. He's an awesome father and a husband. He's a great businessman. It's my man, Mike McKay, not just the super golf fan, but from the Mike McKay Band, and we've got an awesome announcement. He can talk golf with me, music, the whole thing. Seriously, one of my favorite people. And Mike, you know how much I love you, and our friendship goes way back now at this point, you and your family and your brother Chris and everybody. But welcome to the show, and let's talk some music and golf, brother. It's good to see your face.
Always good to be back on the ML Sports Platter. I think this is my third time in the last few years, you know, last 7-8 years, and it's always a good time catching up. You know, you and I are so busy that it doesn't happen as often as it should, especially with kids and stuff, but it's always a good time to get a few minutes with ML.
Yeah, well, we got to get the Father's Day golf thing going. I think one time you were there and I wasn't, and then I was there and you weren't, and then last year I dislocated my shoulder out by the pool the Saturday before we were supposed to do it, so we got to figure out a way to do that, except I'm going to lose.
Chris and I were just talking about that the other day. We want to do it this year. We just haven't picked a place yet.
Yeah, we'll do it for sure. All right, let's get started. First of all, with your band is awesome. I know a couple other people in your band, but you have a huge announcement. I know the date. I know the time. I know the place, but I want to give you the floor to let people know how it came together, what you're doing, which is just so cool. And I'll give you the floor on the whole thing here, man. The Mike McKay Band is back with a special tribute to one of the bands of my yesteryear. I'm getting old.
Same. I mean, they're still going, you know, but so basically we haven't had a show. We haven't had a live show in 3 years, and we all kind of started talking about it again. And the last three shows we've played have been reunion shows because the band went on official hiatus, believe it or not, 10 years ago now, 2014. Feels like it was yesterday.
Last time Rory won a major.
For real. I mean, so, you know, we've had a few reunion shows. We call them reunion shows because, you know, we're still all best friends. We still all hang out, and most of the guys still play in other outfits and stuff. But this year we wanted to do something a little bit different. And so last year when Matchbox 20 came to the fair, a bunch of us went. We all met up there, and we were like, we should do a night in tribute to Matchbox 20. Because if you know anything about the history of the MMB, we're all mega fans of Matchbox 20, and that was kind of who we crafted our sound after. Maybe a little bit on the pop side of Matchbox 20, but I think that just came out in our songwriting. But, you know, so what we're doing is May 11th at Funkin' Waffles. We're doing a tribute night, all Matchbox 20 songs. We're going to do all everything from Yourself or Someone Like You. We're going to do all of the other hits from the succeeding albums. And yeah, it's going to be fun. There's only, I think, 150 tickets available. And as of the other day, there was only about 30 left. So wow. It's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah. So people can call there or they can order them online. How does the ordering go?
If you go right to funkinwaffles.com, there's a little tickets. Link. Okay. And yeah, it's going to be fun. We've been rehearsing for the last few weeks and it's starting to sound really good. I think it's going to be a blast. I think it's going to be a way to, you know, the thing about the MMB is that we did all original music. We wrote everything that we played, but after 10 years of not hearing these songs, when they happen on stage again, you don't remember the words as well as you used to. So by doing a tribute night, it's going to be a way that you can come and hear all your favorite songs. We are trying as hard as we're taking it very seriously. We are trying as hard as we possibly can to sound and look like Matchbox 20. So we want the fans to dress in late 90s, early 2000s attire. We will be doing the same. And I have been training my vocals to mimic Rob Thomas even more than I already do. It's not an easy task by any means, but it's starting to come together.
So there's two things that jump out at me when somebody like you decides to do this.
Yeah.
Life is a lot different now than 10 years ago.
For sure.
So you've got the background. There's munchkins running all over the place as we're doing this interview. Life is crazy, right? Yeah. I mean, let's think about this for a minute. I mean, I've known you and your brother now already for, I believe, 16 years. Cause I met Chris first, I think. And then you, and so it was 2008-ish when I first met you guys.
No, so, it was 2007 because we watched,
seven. You're right.
We watched Tiger and Rocco in the 08 Open together in the CX Tech Breaker.
There you go. You're right.
We've been there about a year at that point.
Correct. You're right. 07 in October, I got hired there. 08, I got laid off on July 3rd on my buddy's birthday, and I was on a boat an hour later. You're right.
Same day.
07. I think actually we played a bunch of golf that summer too.
That summer we certainly did.
Thank you so much, CX Tech, for doing that.
I agree.
But since then, 16 years have gone by, and I mean, you know, you and I both lost a parent. Like, we're both fathers of multiple kids. Yep. We both are all over the place with jobs. We're both, I guess, entrepreneurs. You're doing a lot better than I am. So life is just different. And you're like, now you just decide to do this. So it's a two-parter here.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, cool. And then I was like, how the hell is Mike McKay going to do it? So of course he's going to do it because he always does it. He finds a way. So how are you doing it with, I guess, just chaos?
Yeah.
All that. And then number two is, you mentioned it, like, it's not easy to, you know, you got to remember words, you got to do this, you got to do that and all that. But that's not the part I'm talking about. It's just the consistent playing in general. I mean, I have my trombone here and my guitar here. And I know that you saw my March Madness when I played it on the horn.
I sure did.
But I mean, I'm trying to pick it up again. I don't have time, but like the lip part, building up the chops. And then I haven't played since I did that.
Yeah.
So I could go here, I can play some scale, screw around, figure a few things out, but then 3 days go by. So how do you figure out, I guess the two-parter is, how are you doing it with chaos? And number two is the consistent playing so that you're in it a lot, right? Because when you take some time off, it's like, you feel different.
I'll be honest with you. The first rehearsal I went to, we were going to do like six songs, right? And we're doing 22 songs at this show. So we were going to do like six at the first rehearsal about a month and a half ago. And we got through three and a half and I was done. I was like, I'm all done, guys. I don't want to hurt my voice. I'm already feeling like it's getting to the end of what my capability is. So a couple things that I've been doing on a daily basis, right, is every time I'm in the car, every time I'm using that as rehearsal time, every single minute of every day, I am if I'm listening to music, it's Matchbox 20. Trust me, the people around me are getting sick of it, but I've got about 3 weeks left. And then we do a once weekly 3 or 4 hour rehearsal with the guys. And it's two things. It's learning the songs, but we already know the songs. And then it's learning through YouTube and other media channels how the band performs these songs. Because again, we want it to be highly, highly authentic. And something you might not know about Matchbox 20 is they do a ton of instrument switching. If you ever go watch them live, their rhythm guitarist for one or two songs might be on the drums. And their drummer might just be up there playing the keys. And so what we've done is we've charted out every song, who does what, and as much as we can, we're trying to be as authentic as humanly possible. We want it to feel like you are at a 150-person capacity Matchbox 20 show, which you can't get. Like, it's not a thing. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm as good as Rob Thomas, but my players are as good as his players. And I'll stand on that hill till I die.
I can just see
the band are letter perfect to the sound.
Yeah. Yeah. I can just see it now, like Mike McKay, Crazy Night, Kids Up with a Cold, yep. 3 hours of sleep, pull out of the driveway, and you're on the way to work and you've got 12 minutes, and all of a sudden you're at the red light. It's 3 a.m. and I'm
100%. This is gonna sound really corny. I have a microphone in my car because it's one thing to sing. It's another thing to sing with a mic.
Right.
Right. So when I'm driving down the road, I am literally holding the microphone to my mouth, and I'm, you know, getting into that mindset. And the way Rob Thomas performs, his facial expression is very distinct.
Yep.
So I'm trying to mimic that as well. It's not easy. And on top of this, we just had our soft opening of our new business yesterday. We've been renovating the last 6 months, so it's a lot, but it's all coming together, and it's just a matter of scheduling. It's a matter of making sure that you're appropriately managing your time, which is why I so appreciate we were able to do this at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, exactly. That, you know, hey, yeah, exactly. The only other time that would have been good for you and I would have been 4:30 in the morning, but then, you know, you don't know what's going to happen and who's going to wake up. Mike McCabe
on the bus at 8:20. So well, I get on the bus and I'm right in. I'm good.
Yeah. And you were on the camera before me, by the way, but it's Mike McCabe band presenting Matchbox 20 live at Funkin' Waffles, the great location in Central New York, May 11th at 8 p.m. Funkinwaffles.com for more information. The only thing I wanted to keep you for a couple minutes was, we're coming off the Masters. I just saw your mug, by the way, you son of a gun.
Every day. This is my drinker.
Still, I got this
at Augusta.
Still a dream of mine. Still a bucket list of mine. I hope I can get there. I don't need to go a million times. I just want to go. I want to go on a Thursday. I want to see it. I want to walk it. And I always watch it on television. I'm like, this place cannot be real. That's my first thing. It can't be real. I know it is. Azaleas, the flowers, the course, the beauty. I know it's real. But you watch it, you go, it can't be that beautiful, but it really is. And I know you've been there. So Scheffler is just a machine right now, obviously. And he can go to a tournament. There's a couple things with him. He can go to a tournament and play his B or B plus game and win. That's terrifying for the rest of the tour. The other thing I think that he's added to his game, Mike, is everybody, the elite of the elite in sports history, Brady, Manning, Jordan, Gretzky, whoever, Tiger, they all have bad moments. Nobody's actually perfect, even though they make it look like they are. They have that little moment where the foot comes off your throat a little bit. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? Oh, yeah. They slam it right back on the throat. He did that on day three, where he went double bogey, bogey on the back, and then he had a bogey on 17. He ended up going eagle and a birdie to make up the three strokes. Bogey on 17, he birdies 18 right into the day. And then he goes six birdies and nine holes on day four and makes up for all of the other when they were tied, right? Four players and all that. When you watch Scheffler, out of all those things I mentioned, or maybe it's something else, what is it right now that puts him here and everybody else a little bit lower for you? What's the one thing?
Well, he frustrates the hell out of me first and foremost, because I've never seen somebody hit the driver so well without keeping their feet on the ground. Like, that is astonishing to me. And I don't understand it. I tried to hit a driver the way he did. I can't even make contact.
It's amazing.
I don't know how he's able to repeat that. But what strikes me as unbelievably is it's his mindset. That's Scottie Scheffler's superpower. I want you to think back to the week before both of your kids were born. And I want you to think about where your mind was and what you were able to accomplish. And if the answer is anything other than nothing, you're lying. And that's why I didn't pick him this year, to be honest. I was like, there's no way he's got a jet off the ninth hole, gassed up and ready to take him. He has somebody following him on the course with a cell phone in case his wife calls and says she's going into labor. The fact that he was able to focus through that, especially being his first kid and the unknown, it showed me everything I needed to know about him. And unflappable mindset. And you said it better about how they have these moments where they're not perfect. If you look at Sunday, he played really average golf for the first eight holes.
Right.
I thought, okay, this is going to be Homa's chance if he could figure out how to make a putt, which he never did. It's going to be Åberg's chance if he can keep doing what he's doing. And I really thought
Morikawa
was gonna come back and get him, two-time major champ, Mind of Steel. But as Morikawa said, he got greedy with those two double bogeys. If he doesn't have those double bogeys, we're going into 17 and it's a one-shot match.
Right.
You know, and again, what happened. But the fact that he was able to steal himself, I mean, how many times have we seen a guy leading after three with no external pressure, no baby being born next week? Rory comes to mind. And they get there on Sunday, and for whatever reason, they just don't have it. Scotty was hitting really poor approach shots the first eight holes. And then on nine, he hit that approach shot that went to about an inch, and everything just clicked. Yep. Oh, I'm Scottie Scheffler again. And six birdies later, it's not even a contest.
He has a ton of top threes, ton of top fives, ton of top tens. He won the Players and the Arnie back-to-back. He makes that putt at the Children's Open there.
Yep.
He's got four in a row right now if he makes that putt, right? That's so he's got the Masters and the Players in the same year. Player of the Year right now, to me, is a slam dunk. It's him, unless somebody takes it from him. But isn't the baby thing a little much? I mean, I know it was a big thing, and I know it's hard to concentrate, but isn't she 8 months due? I thought that babies are born in 9 months.
I thought she was due next week.
Okay.
Is that wrong?
So it's 8 months plus is what, because a lot of people made it like, oh, she's 8 months in, but they weren't saying 8 months, meaning like as in
right
the late part of the, like the ninth
you
month.
Say I'm 9 months pregnant before you give birth, right? Like, so maybe I'll have to get an idea of when her actual due date is, but the way they made it sound was that he's going to go home and she's going to give birth any day.
Yeah.
Like within a week.
Yeah.
But I mean,
to be able to concentrate like that. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Just that concentration piece of it. Here's an interesting one for you. Did you know that right now, for what it's worth, the top 20 earners on the PGA Tour, only 19 of them are golfers. There's only 19 golfers in the top 20 of PGA money winners this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other guy is Scottie Scheffler's caddy.
Because, there you go. Yeah.
Literally, he's earned more money than the 20th highest earning PGA player on tour this year.
Wow.
That's an interesting stat.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, Scheffler made 3.6 for the Masters, and the guy who finished in last is a guy who won at 15 majors and five Masters himself, Tiger Woods. I understand. I wanted to keep you under 15, but I got to get you
a minute. Let's keep going. I can talk Masters all day.
I got to get Tiger out of you, and then I'll let you roll. I mean,
I want to talk about the course, too, because there were some interesting things this year that I was uncomfortable with.
Okay. Quick hit me on – I mean, I know this is like the swan song, and it's part of the goodbyes and all that stuff, but it's hard to watch. I mean, the up and down stuff, I hate it. It's like – I didn't see Willie Mays in a Met uniform, but people are saying it's like that. Yeah. I can't stand watching this guy do this. Last year was painful in the rain and the weather. He can't move. He can't walk. I mean, shouldn't he just be play on flat courses or flatter courses and at the Masters hit the drive? I know he's too prideful all day. He doesn't want to be the ceremonial dude, but gosh, It's hard to watch. He has zero chance of winning these things. He says he does. He doesn't. Give me a little bit of Tiger here. Where do you land on him? Should he just call it quits? I think he probably should. And then give me your course thing and wrap it at the end here in the last 2 minutes with your Masters from, you know, when you experienced it with your family and your dad, obviously.
So Tiger makes me sad. It makes me sad to watch because of how much I love him. You know, he said hi to me once and my two brothers at Oak Hill, hi guys, how are you doing this morning? I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to icons of sport, I really put him at the top of the list in terms of dominance. Him, Mariano Rivera,
Jordan,
Floyd Mayweather, that's the list in my opinion.
Well, he's on the Mount Rushmore of both of our sports lifetimes and he ain't moving.
No. There's, you know, personal shortcomings aside, I loved watching Tiger play golf. And even when he's not in pain, it looks like he's in pain. Exactly. And that's what upsets me about watching him. Yep. The way he walks, the way there's that slight limp, no matter what. And the way he hits the golf ball. I think the chances of him winning a tournament are gone. It was 4 years past anybody thought he could win in 2019. And people think that was yesterday. It was 5 years ago. And it was amazing. It was incredible. But that was really his swan song. Here we are 5 years later. Major accident. Other things. He's got a bionic leg that's put together with more plates and nails and screws than anybody in the world.
Plus just age.
And yeah, I mean, his leg is curved in a weird way. And one thing that is impressive is how far he's still hitting the golf ball, though. Because it's all arms and core at this point. He's got no lower body.
Right.
But he's still hitting it by these 22-year-olds.
It's
incredible. But no, he doesn't have the touch that's necessary anymore. He'll never be able to putt enough to putt well at a place like Augusta.
And he can't get to the 5 to 8 feet off the approach to play the numbers game. But more importantly, the B is the Tiger game, which is, the numbers game, we make them because we're pros. Yep. Here's the amount we can make, we will make. But then there's the Tiger numbers game, which is another, it's another area.
Completely different stratosphere.
Right. You know?
And it, like I said, it just makes me sad to watch. And I'm hoping that something clicks in his mind to where he says, okay, I will step back and I'll do some analyst work and I'll get on podcasts and tell my stories. Because the media part of his next chapter is what I'm really interested in at this point. Because there's so many stories we haven't heard that I want to listen to. Mm-hmm. But what struck me about Augusta, and as you mentioned, I went there in 2015. We had a really good year in business and I spent near $10,000 and I brought my dad to Augusta. I told him since I was a little kid, I was going to do it. I'm very happy I did now because I didn't know he was going to die so young. But in 2015, my dad and I went down to Augusta and we went for 2 days. So it was on the secondary market. Greg Norman learned this over the weekend. It's about $2,500 per day per ticket. So we bought four tickets, two each for 2 days. And we went on the Wednesday practice round. And then we went on the first day, Thursday. And 2015 was Jordan Spieth's first win. And what struck me about Augusta, of course, was the tradition, the beauty, the no cell phones, the whole, I don't have any pictures of being there. I just have all this $1,500 worth of memorabilia in the gift shop. And as I told you before, I got something for your wall. I'm going to bring you at some point, but it was as good of an experience as you can possibly have. But what struck me is how they place beauty above all else. There is there's a lot of stuff you don't see on TV. Like when somebody hits the ball out of a bunker, that group finishes the hole and 14 dudes with rakes on the green to get all the sand off the green. This year, and correct me if I'm wrong from your perspective, this year on TV, the greens looked like crap. They looked terrible.
They
by Augusta standards.
Yep.
And I think this year was the first year that the brass at Augusta said, I'm going to place difficulty above beauty. And because it was like an open, it was concrete out there. I've never seen Augusta that rock hard.
Well, look at the Homa ball.
100%. That doesn't happen at Augusta. And you can blame lack of rain and all this, but they have sprinkler systems that are state of the art. They could water those greens and get them lush and green in about an hour.
And by
chose not to.
Yes, and by the way, the Homa ball, I know it could have still happened where it went, but it seemed like it hit and went farther quicker.
100%. It was concrete. It hit and it ricocheted as opposed to hitting and skirting into the fringe and then going into the first cut and stopping, which is what it would do on a normal year. And you heard the players' complaints, and I don't care when professional golfers complain about how hard golf courses is, how hard golf courses are. I always find it comical, but it felt watching like it was not Augusta. It felt like a U.S. Open, and I don't like that, especially on days 2 and 3. 4, Sunday felt a little bit more, but you know they have those funnel pins on Sunday because they like the drama. 16 comes to mind. It's the best pin position in all of golf on the final day because you know they're going to hit it slightly right and it's going to come down the hill like Tigers did in 2019. But watching, it kind of made me sad because you're looking at these greens and they're brown on Saturday and Sunday. And that, to me, was sad because somebody at Augusta made the decision to not water the greens in favor of difficulty. And I don't know, it was weird to see for me. And I was like, I was a little frustrated by it because I like on Augusta, I like seeing the guys fire at pins, making birdies, going low. But I mean, I guess I really can't complain because Scotty still ended up 11 under. But I don't know, it was difficult for me to watch. I mean, how many players were actually under par? 10, maybe?
Yeah.
It was tough. My pick, my pick for the event was Cam Smith. I really thought he was going to make a run.
Nice player.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was definitely a different feel to it. Glad you brought that up. You want to put a quick capper on it and hit me one more time with the Mike McKay band stuff and everybody's got. If you haven't gotten your ticket and there's only a few left, by the way, Mike lied about the Masters cost. It was 10 grand for the tickets.
Yes.
And then you spent another 10 grand in the shop.
No, I went with $1,000 to spend at the shop for me and dad because I was going to buy dad stuff.
Right.
I ended up spending $1,500. My dad spent another $1,900. I mean, and there was so many things that
I can't imagine.
Yeah. But I'll give you one thing real quick. You know, I have 1,000 coffee mugs. Literally, I have over 1,000 coffee mugs. Everywhere I go, I get a coffee mug.
Yep.
They're all for display. Every single day, I drink of one of two mugs. They're both Masters mugs. I have a green and a white that I got at Augusta. I brought the green one home. My dad brought the white one home. When he passed away, I asked my mom for it. Now I have both of them. As an entrepreneur, what's important to me every single day is, do I have any money coming in? If it's a money day, I drink out of the green mug. And if it's a non-money day, I drink out of the white mug. And my goal, obviously, is to never drink out of the white mug ever again.
You just give me the white mug. I'll take the white mug. By the way, dude, you said in 2019 with a chip-in, with the Tigers chip-in was 2005.
No, I'm talking about in 19 on 16 when it almost went in.
We
thought he was about to hit a hole in one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the chip-in was of course, 05, Vern Lundquist.
Classy move, by the way. Vern Lundquist is done. How cool was Tiger behind the tree?
I saw that.
I didn't realize that what he had done until I went and listened 100%. To some shows and read some articles.
The memes were great, too.
Oh, my gosh.
They're so good. But so May 11th, Mike McKay Band.
Love it.
Tribute to Matchbox 20. 22 Matchbox 20 songs. Maybe one MMB song in the encore if people want it. You know,
we haven't decided.
But it's going to be a hell of a night. It's going to be as close to Matchbox 20 as you can possibly get. And again, I am no Rob Thomas, but I can carry a tune. And my band sounds as good as they do. We've matched every tone. Every solo, it will be letter perfect. If you enjoy Matchbox 20, I promise you will have a good time at this show. Dress like it's the 90s and let's have a good time.
Love it. Mike McKay Band, of course, and it's going to be an awesome show coming up on May 11th. My man, thank you so much for joining the show here, all brought to you by Stumbling Monkey Brewing Company and the Allen Angus Pub, plus the sponsors.
I'm pretty happy. We kept it under 30. You said 15. I was thinking 30. I like it.
I know. I was up at 4:30 in the morning with the old, 8-month-old sounds and couldn't get back to sleep. And during that time, I tried to rest and think about keeping it under 15 with Mike McKay. And Mike McKay, and I just said, please give me a break. Thanks, buddy.
Let's do it again soon, buddy. I love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you too, bud.
Not everyone has the experience and passion we do to fight for every client. We know they're counting on us to protect their families, employees, businesses, and themselves, and to be there when they need us with five-star local service. The big guys just don't have our local independence or commitment to offering the best value and choice of insurance programs. Choice, competitive pricing, and five-star service. That's CH Insurance. In your corner. Every day, every way.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.